Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy truth. Continuing on in our series this morning, learning lessons from the life of our Lord. And we've been looking at the life of our Lord Jesus, the greatest life that was ever lived, the greatest man who ever walked this scene of time, and we're seeking to learn from him that we might apply it to our own lives. The Bible says that he has left us an example that we might follow in his steps, and that's of course what we are. We're followers of Jesus Christ, and we want to seek, as God would help us, to follow him. We've looked at his baptism in the Jordan. We have looked at his temptation in the wilderness. And there were many lessons that we learned there. We saw how he overcame the tempter, how he triumphed in the trial of temptation, how he defeated the devil. And then we looked at the first miracle that Jesus performed when he changed the water into wine, and he used those water pots to bring glory to his name and blessing to this whole company. And he used the water pots of stone, and we saw that last week. We want to come this morning to what I've called the Savior and the storm, because I want to think with you this morning about the storms of life. And the storms of life are relevant to each one of us. Just at the beginning of this year, maybe at the end of last year and into this year, we went through a spell of very stormy weather. My, for about 2 months without end, there was storm after storm after storm after storm. And sometimes that's just like life. We call them the storms of life. And we're taking different things from the life of Christ which we feel is relevant to us in our everyday life so that we can identify with them. And I believe that each one of us can identify with this morning. Three of the gospel writers record this miracle of Christ calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27. You find it in Mark's gospel chapter 4, 36 to 41. And here in Luke's gospel chapter 8, 22 to 25. When we examine the miracles that our Lord Jesus performed, you find that he performed miracles in relation to the human body. For example, he healed the man with the withered hand. He cleansed the leper. He came to the man who had sat at the gate for over 30 years and gave him strength to walk. He said to the man who was brought to him sick of the palsy, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he not only performed miracles in relation to the human body, but he performed miracles in relation to the natural world. And many of the commentators believe that the greatest miracle he performed in relation to the natural body was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, Lazarus had been dead 4 days already. And when Jesus came, one of his sisters said, Master, behold, he stinketh. He's dead 4 days already. Some years ago when I was in India, we were at a conference there, and one of the men that was leading the conference, his brother died one morning, early on. And before 12 noon, the funeral and burial had taken place because of the heat, because of the temperature, and the body was decomposing, and so they have to bury them very quickly. And here's this man, Lazarus, and he was dead 4 days. And Jesus raised him from the dead and brought him out of that grave. And then the commentators believe that the greatest miracle that he performed in relation to the natural world was this one we're reading about this morning, when he stood up on that little boat and cried, "Peace be still," and he calmed the storm. I just want to go down the verses with you this morning and make a few remarks about them, because I believe that's what preaching the word is all about, just taking it verse by verse and phrase by phrase and applying it to our own hearts. Verse 22 says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." The Lord was revealing to his disciples his plans and his purpose. And he said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." The Lord had a work on the other side of the lake that he had to do. And so when they set forth, everything was fine. But as we've read in the story, the storm came. But the Lord brought them through that storm, even though they were in jeopardy, and he brought them over to the other side of the lake. And you know, friends, God has a purpose for every believer, for every child of God. And God's eternal purpose for each one of us this morning, that he will bring us before the eternal throne and present us faultless before that throne. My, we will be conformed to the image of his Son. And you know, as we go through life, there may be storms and difficulties and problems we meet, but God's eternal purpose for his people will be fulfilled, because one day, in spite of what happens down here, you and I will land in glory. We will be like Jesus, and we will land in the glory land. So we see here that he said, "Let us go over onto the other side of the lake." And it says, and they launched forth. The Lord was directing these men into the center of his will. They knew what he wanted them to do and where he wanted them to go. And the moment he said, "Let us go to the other side of the lake," they launched forth. My, they were in submission to his word. They were obeying his word. They were following his will. And then we see here not only the leading of the Lord, but when it comes to verse 23, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." And we're seeing now not only the leading of the Lord, but we're seeing now the suddenness of the storm. The Sea of Galilee, I'm told, is about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. And it's not unusual for violent storms to suddenly sweep across the lake. And one moment the sea is calm, but in the next moment, in the next few moments, my, the storm is raging. And my, they were in the midst of the storm. When they started out, everything was calm, but now the storm is raging. These men were sailing so peaceably, and then out of the blue, the storm came and disturbed their peace. And you know, friends, that's just like the uncertainty of life. You can be sailing along on the sea of life with not a cloud in the sky, not a worry on your mind, not a problem that you have to think about or care about, and then all of a sudden, the storm can come. Out of the blue, the storm can come. All it needs is the telephone to ring, or a knock to come to the door. Maybe someone there bearing bad tidings. or an illness to take place in your life, or a sudden heart attack or sudden stroke, and all of a sudden the person's life can be changed in a moment of time. And my, it can be absolutely changed for the rest of their life. It can happen so quickly. It can happen so quickly. My dear friends, that's just like life. The Lord knew this storm was coming. He could have prevented it, but he permitted it. And I think it's helpful when we're thinking about the will of God to know and differentiate between the directive will of God and the permissive will of God. Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake. That's the directive will of God. He's directing them. The storm came and he permitted it. I don't believe the Lord sent the storm, but I believe that he permitted the storm, and he permitted the storm so that they could learn lessons from the storm, so that they could be drawn closer to him, so that their faith might be established, and so that they might have patience as they went through life. Dear friends, if we never had a trial, if we never had a problem to face, we wouldn't know the greatness of God's power, or the wonder of God's grace, or the sufficiency of the Lord in helping us through our problems in life. Yes, we see here the Lord permitted the storm. And there's a little lesson here, I think, which is very important, and it's this. You might find out for your life what the will of God is for your life. Because here's these men in the boat, and they were right in the center of the will of God. Jesus had said to them, let us go to the other side of the lake. That's exactly what they were doing. They were obeying him. They were right in the center of his will. But that doesn't mean that you'll never have another problem. It doesn't mean that you'll never have another trial to face. They may only start there. So we see the leading of the Lord and the suddenness of the storm. Life can change quickly. Change so quickly and unexpectedly. And then it says, they came to him, verse 24, and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And we see there the fear of the followers. And he reacted in verse 25 and said, where is your faith? These men, remember, were experienced fishermen that had been in the storm before. They'd been out on the sea before, but in spite of their efforts, the boat was filled with water, and they awoke the master and said, Lord, we're perishing. And you know, if I'd have been there in that boat, I probably would have done the same. I probably would have been afraid. And I think if you're honest, so would you. So would we all. Dear friends, but the fact is this, they had no need to awaken because it was impossible for this boat to go down while the Lord was on board. He was with them in the whole thing. They were in his will. He was in the boat. He was with them in the storm. Do you think that Christ could have drowned with them? Not at all. Of course he couldn't. But you see, friends, the thing that concerned the Lord was not their fear, but their lack of faith. You know, when we take the Lord on board, we'll never sink. The life that is Christ as its center and has crowned him as Lord will never sink. The church that takes Christ on board and seeks to exalt him and seeks to honor him and further his work will never sink. The work that is Christ on board will never sink. There may be hard times, but it will never sink. So we see here the leading of the Lord and the suddenness of the storm and the fear of the followers. And of course we see the might of the master Because it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. We see the might of the master, and we see the stillness of the storm. He brought this storm under control. We see Christ in all the fullness of his deity here. He just stands up in this boat and he cries, peace be still. And there was a great calm. You know, we live in the 21st century. And man, with all his 21st century inventions, you know that you can drive down the road and 20 miles from home, if it's a cold night, through your mobile, you can turn the heat on at home. The lady can put the oven on. And you can do a whole lot of things just through your mobile. And this is the age in which we live. Man has so many 21st century inventions at his disposal, but the fact of the matter is this, he has no control over the elements of nature. But God has. God has. And you know, friends, the Lord brought this storm under control, and he brought peace to those who were in the storm. And the Lord Jesus may allow the storm to come into your life or into my life. But he can bring peace even in the storm. And he can bring calm into your life. You know, in three of the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus calming the storm. And dear friends, remember this. No matter how good life has been to you, no matter how successful you've been in your schoolwork or in your education or in your business or in your work, no matter how successful you've been, no matter where you are on the ladder of success, there's not one here of us this morning who's exempt from the storm. We'll all have to come through it. I remember when I was a young believer, not long saved. And I knew very little, I have to tell you. But I remember the pastor preaching about the storms of life and talking to people about the storms of life and how the Lord could come and help them in the storms of life. And we used to sing that old hymn, when the storms of life are raging, tempest wild, unseen land, I will find a place of refuge in the hollow of his hand. And I was sitting as a young believer and I'm saying to myself, what's all these storms they're talking about? What's all these storms? I tell you this much. I know now what they were talking about, because I've been in a few of them. I've been in a few of them. Dear friends, there's so many different kinds of storm. There's satanical storm. Job, my Job was a holy man. He was a successful businessman. He was a loving family man. And then the devil came and caused havoc in Job's life. And he was in the storm. And of course, there's a physical storm. Sometimes sickness, even life-threatening sickness, comes into our life. It may be a financial storm. Young man with a wife and family. And he has a mortgage to pay. He has a family to keep. He has the car to keep on the road. And one day the boss calls him into the office and he says, listen, business is not just going as well as it was a few months back. I'm going to have to let you go. And here's this young man, and he has his mortgage to pay. He has to clothe his children. He has food to put on the table. And he's in the storm because he has no money now to pay for it. And there's so many different storms, personal storms. Bereavement comes to every family. None of us escapes it. My dear friends, spiritual storms. My, these are some of the storms, so many different. The lesson we learn from this is just this, that the Lord was in control as they sailed through that storm. My, these men were at the end of themselves. They were afraid. But the Lord was in control. and he brought peace and calm in that storm. You might say to me, it's all right, you talking up there. That's right, I agree with you. You know, it's hard to realize when you're in the storm that the Lord is in control. It's all right knowing it when there's no storm, when everything is fine. It's all right knowing before the storm and rejoicing in this after the storm is over, and you can look back and you can see God's goodness and God's faithfulness to you. But when you're in the storm, that's when your faith is really tested. And sometimes it's hard to see where God is and what's it all about and why you're being put through this. I accept that. I accept that. My dear friends, you only have to look at Joseph. You know, God came to Joseph as a young fellow of 17, and he showed Joseph that he had a plan and purpose for his life. He gave him two dreams. First dream was the dream of the sheaves. He saw his brothers, that their sheaves came and they bowed to his sheaf. They did obeisance to his sheaf. And then the second dream was of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, and they came and they bowed down before him. And God was revealing through those dreams that he had a plan and purpose for his life, and that his own brethren in the day to come would bow before him. And then, a few days later, his brethren takes him, puts him down into a pit. Then they sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They bring him down into Egypt and sell him to Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard, and he makes him a slave in his house. And then Potiphar's wife, she takes a notion to Joseph, and when he won't play ball with her, she tells lies on him, and he's put into prison for a crime he hadn't committed, and he's there for 12 years. And I'm sure that as Joseph was in the prison, he was wondering where God was. What about all the promises of God? I'll tell you where God was. God was in control. Because God was bringing him to the place that he had planned for him. He was bringing him to be the prime minister in Egypt when the time of famine came. God in his sovereignty was working in Joseph's life. And I'm sure that if you had been in Joseph's shoes, you'd have wondered, where's God in all this? But God was in control. The same with Paul. It's revealed to Paul to go to Macedonia. He got that Macedonian call, that Macedonian vision. And he goes where God called him, and the next thing is he's slapped into jail. Him and Silas. But you know, they didn't murmur and they didn't complain. They prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, and the Lord used them in that prison. Dear friends, when you're in the storm, no matter how fierce and dark the night may be, remember this, that God is still in control. Remember this, his word hasn't changed. His promises hasn't changed. His purposes hasn't changed course. He will fulfill his purpose. My dear friends, as they sailed through this storm on the Lake of Galilee that day, these men, the Lord's presence was with them in the storm. And as we sail through life, we'll not get a clear run. It'll not be calm waters all the way. But remember this, as we sail through life, the Lord will be with us all the way, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if he'll never leave us nor forsake us, then he'll be there when we're in the storm. The Lord's presence was with them in the storm. The Lord's power was available in the storm. He stood in that boat and cried, peace be still. I remember hearing someone making an application. He said, you know, when you go into the farmer's yard, and if you're a stranger and you get out of the car and the old dog Ma, he makes for you straight away. And he's barking for all his worth. And sometimes, you know, when I was on the post at that, and they got out of the van, and the dog came running at me, I got straight back into the van again. That was the only place of refuge I had. I jumped out of the van, and then I jumped into it again, because somebody took the dog away. But he said, you know, the dog comes barking for all his worth, and then the farmer shouts at it, lie down. And that's what Jesus did to the waves and to the sea. Just cried, lie down. And there was a great calm. His power is with us in the storm. Power to shine in the storm. I remember a lady up in Kells in Ballymena got bad news in the early hours of the morning that her son of 18 years of age had come round a corner too quickly and hit a tree and was killed. And the police came knocking at our door in the early hours for me to go out. I remember going out into that home. And right through that time of bereavement and the funeral and all the rest of it. And that woman shone for God in the storm. She never questioned God once. Never questioned. Dear friends, there's power to shine in the storm. Power to stand in the storm. Power to serve in the storm. People say, you know, man, you couldn't live for the Lord in our work. You want to hear the stories they tell. You want to hear the language that's there. I'll tell you this, I worked in the post office for 9 years and know what you're talking about. And Daniel lived in Babylon for 70 years and he came out of it as pure as he went into it. The Lord's presence was with them in the storm. The Lord's power was available in the storm. And the Lord's peace was experienced in the storm. The Lord Jesus stilled the storm, brought peace and calm to these men's lives. And he can do the same for you. And he can do the same for me. I don't know where you are this morning, dear friends. Maybe you're here this morning and you're having a problem in the world. You're having a care in the world. Thank God for that. Enjoy it. Not be always like that. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're in the storm. Maybe the storms of life are raging in your life. And life has been hard and difficult. Sometimes life can be cruel. But remember this, that Jesus Christ, who stood in the boat and was in control in that time of storm, remember, he's with you. And that he will be with you in the storm. His presence will be with you. His power is available to you. And you can experience his peace. While the Lord is on board, you'll never sink. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for these wonderful stories we have in your word of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, how he came to those who were in the storm and ministered to them and helped them, gave them strength, and brought them through. We realize, Lord, there's many storms we have to face. Storm of ill health, storm of sorrow, storm of illness, and so many different storms. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll help us to look up even when the storm is raging and know that God is in control and on the throne for Christ.